back, everyone. Good to talk with you. You're listening to Red Ice Radio. I'm Henrik. We had a few pre-recorded shows that we put up over Christmas and New Year's to take a little mini break. And so now we're back, and this is our first recording in 2015. And we're not even over the starting line yet. And already we have the Charlie Hebdo shooting in Paris. And we won't go into that too much in today's program, but we'll definitely put focus on this in future shows. We'll refer you to the website for more stories on the hypocrisy of the response by liberal France touting freedom of speech when they actively have been preventing just that for years in France on a number of issues. This is also, of course, sought to be used by the Zionists, neocon war machine, and the promotion of getting more funds and support for the planned war in Syria and Iran for terrorist prevention at home. And on top of all of this, we have the Netanyahu's trying to get more Jews to go back to Israel as they no longer feel safe in the European societies that they have helped to transform. So this is, of course, all us evil Europeans' fault for being anti-Semitic against Jews. It has nothing whatsoever to do with the importation of Middle Eastern conflicts to our European lands. We have a few stories up on redicecreations.com now about this. But it's, of course, also equally important to point out that a scenario like this, whether or not you believe it's a false flag, wouldn't even be remotely plausible if it wasn't for the imposed and forced multicultural society that Europe has become today. We have millions of people in France that does not belong there, and an increasing number of those of native Frankish stock, I believe, will now begin to self-censor when it comes to criticizing a religion that doesn't belong there either. All of this is something that is running right in line, really, with Kudenhof-Kalergi's population replacement agenda of turning Europeans into, and I quote, the Eurasian Negroid race of the future, similar in appearance to the ancient Egyptians, unquote. That's right out of Kalergi's book, Practical Idealism, that really laid the ideological groundwork for the European Union. And that's several decades before the Second World War ended as well. We also have, of course, predictably the, fakers, as I call them, that claim that everything about this event is fake. Nothing is real. Nothing ever happened. And I'm as fed up with those nuts as I am with those who continue to deny that this is an imposed clash of civilization agenda that is intended to destroy European civilization and the West. You literally have people believing that this is really the massive political influence of someone like Marianne Le Pen that is behind the attacks, or that she can somehow order up these false flags or something in order to garner more support for her widely popular party, National Front. Like she or her message is somehow a secret desired by the globalists or the Zion media, who has worked in complete opposition to anything that would basically line up with any of the goals that they have. But let's put that in perspective. Look at the way that Front National or something like Pegida in Germany, the patriotic Europeans against the Islamization of the West, are portrayed in the media. And you can figure out in 1 second that these are anti-establishment movements that the globalists are tremendously nervous and scared about. Being pro your own people and caring for your own people and their future and their heritage and their culture does not mean that you hate others or that you want to wage war with them or even be at conflict with them. This is a misrepresentation. It's a straw man, really a simplification in order to destroy the arguments of those movements in Europe that actually are against the European Union and globalization, basically against most of what we're seeing happening right now in the world. Yep, it's the fault of those evil people that want to keep France French. That's right. Those are the evil people. Those are the problem. Those are the dangerous ones that refuse to be deracinated into the new wonders of modernity, of the new world order and their one world global utopia. This is how I view what is happening. Someone has brought in the multicultural powder keg. They have lit the rainbow fuse of love that predictably turned into hatred, as these studies already have been made on multicultural societies and how these turn out. And of course, now they're scurrying back to the Middle East with a big smile on their face. because they are seeking conflict between the Arab world and the West to have us fight their battles for them. This is the fruits of the labor that Barbara Spector and her ilk has done. So let's not fall for this, as they are once again seeking to open the gates to Toledo to let in the hordes that are all too willing and eager to destroy the West, because those are out there. Believe me, you don't need any intelligence services or NATO troops, mind-controlling people into believing any of this nonsense. There are already millions out there that have been sucked into the subversive messages of the cultural Marxists that we have in academia and the West, and the anti-Western parrots and so-called journalists in the mainstream media that these organizations have helped to spawn. The globalists would never, ever be able to use terrorism in the way that they are now, be it genuine or not, if it wasn't for the messed up population displacement mishmash world that they have created for us. So there will be much more to analyze about this story in future shows, so stay tuned for that. But for now, today we are going to talk with Tim Murdoch from WhiteRabbitRadio.net. Now, he's behind a number of really funny and professionally made short animations that puts the wisdom of our age in perspective, pointing out the massive double standards of the PC tourney, and turns a lot of the arguments that we're told on its head 180 degrees in order to demonstrate what the real agenda of, for example, diversity really is. We are going to focus on a more esoteric theme today, perhaps we should say meme, that of ancient aliens, fake alien invasions, the connection to Egypt, and how it relates to white genocide, the programming of people via Hollywood and History Channel shows, etc., something that seems to be leading to something big event-wise, be this real or not. But we'll speak more about this ahead, so stay with us as we get going. Welcome, Tim. Thank you so much for coming on with us. Good to speaking with you. Hope you're doing well and staying warm in the cold over there in the States.
It is very cold. It's very cold everywhere.
It is. Exactly. I know. It's definitely pushing down. Well, it's great to have you with us. And it's kind of, we've taken a little break over the New Year's and the Yuletides here. So you are our first guest into the new year here as it comes to recording anyway. So it's great to have you with us. We have a lot of things we want to discuss today. You've, of course, done a couple of great shows with Lana over at Radio 314 in the past. And of course, it's great to have you with us here on Red Eyes Radio finally. And there's so much we want to get into. But, you know, you have a broad scope and you look at a lot of different themes and issues that some people don't, you know, dare to look at in that regard. And you know, we've been following a lot of this on the theme of the alien invasions and everything else, something that's been laid out to us allegedly by Wernher von Braun via his secretary, Carol Rosen. And this is something we've been, almost ever since 2006 when we started the radio show, something that's been keeping, you know, coming up again and again. And we wanted to talk about that today. I wanted to lay this out from your perspective, Tim, how you view this, tying this into the kind of things that you talk about, you know, on your shows that we've been getting into more recently here. So how did you approach this topic and why was this interesting to you, Tim?
Well, anytime you look at an elite, and I came to a conclusion based on my background at one time, and that would be a whole nother episode, but I basically came to the conclusion that I didn't know enough about this enemy. I was basically smacked upside down, and I knew nothing about an enemy that wages war by deception. I knew the critical component, Jews. I knew that word. I knew all about them. I knew the Kevin MacDonald books. But there's a whole nother element here when it comes to propaganda, when it comes to shaping perception, when it comes to memes. And I started looking at the broad different acts that they had discussed openly to basically gain, to take their global empire, which is now, it's becoming more and more overt, but to basically take a covert globalist type empire and make it covert, or what we call the New World Order. And I started taking that very seriously. And you start looking at any type of meme interjection. The wonderful thing about our enemy is they have to tell us what they have to do. They're going to tell us what they're going to do, and they're going to spend a lot of money doing it. That's kind of the wonderful thing. That's the only wonderful thing. And it's kind of some this is the type of thing that generally scares people because they're very big scenarios. And I think there's a potential for one right now based on the type of memes they're introducing and the speed and rapidity, the rapid nature that they're introducing them into society. They're no longer coming back to the meme, which is how you introduce something. You let it die down, you come back to it. You let it die down, you come back to it. One of the great examples of the 20th century would be King Tut. You put him on tour. You let it die down, you come back to it. It's you saturate the audience over decades. The UFO memes saturate over the decades. They're no longer saturating. They're no longer coming back to it. They're hitting the throttle on this stuff. And they're collapsing their memes into one fascinating narrative. And the truth of the matter is always difficult to ascertain. The direction they want to go or the direction for the potential that they're trying to go really isn't. Because it's so overwhelmingly obvious that they want to work into these larger scenarios.
Right, yeah. What do you, I mean, the ancient aliens theme is that's been with us for a long time, you know, and it's something that, you know, we've seen pushed kind of from the, more from the alternative movement, if we can call it that, and now kind of seeping into, you know, the history channels and all of that stuff. We have the Ancient Aliens show, of course, and this is something which has become tremendously popular, and I've always wondered, you know, in what capacity they are seeking to use this, how they're going to, you know, introduce this to us in some way in the future. How does the Wernher von Braun issue play into this? And I know a lot of people have been doubting what he said.
It's very simple. The 20th century is the century of Egyptian memes around our enemy. There's always something going on with King Tut. The Nefertiti bust is still in Germany, and the Germans won't let it travel. This goes back to Adolf Hitler. Nefertiti doesn't end up being King Tut's mother. King Tut's mother ends up being Akhenaten's sister, and Akhenaten ends up being his father. What a coincidence. But really, the science behind it, these are all memes being interjected at a rapid rate, brought together into one narrative. The actual theme, of course, is always around Amarna, Egypt, when you get into this. And the only science you really have is the dating of the Cohen gene pool, which they did in the late 90s, and then they came out with another study in 2009. The first dating was 3,300 years prior, which puts you pretty close for a propaganda point, right into the Near East, into that time period. Mm. And this is the Jewish priest class. And then you have the redating in 2009 based on the, it is called the Cohen modal haplotype. And the redating was done in July 2009 issue of Human Genetics. It was rolled out. It was extended Y chromosome. And it is unique in comparison. There's no other group on the planet with this particular Y chromosome. So extremely unique. And they dated it at 3,200 years prior. So there's circumstantial evidence. You know, obviously, we won't know anything until they do the big smoke and mirrors, lower the bombshell, and issue the revelation that there's a Moses, there's a descendant of Moses, and that's what they're, in my opinion, they're going to try to say. And this is nothing new to alt news, but bringing it prime time would be news.
Right, yeah.
Because Moses has never revealed himself. And when you have an enemy waging war by deception, usually you've got a front group, a spear point that does a lot of work, and then you have someone holding that. In their particular mythology, the Old Testament, which there can be no doubt that's their mythology, everything goes back to Egypt. There are gods at war with Egypt. And Moses is the big deal. He's the big cohiba. What he says goes. My interest into the schizophrenia of the Old Testament was in looking at white genocide as a classic schizophrenia model in the Anglo-American set. We have this something interesting. I talked to Alana briefly about this. In 1925, we have a very, very aggressive Preservation Immigration Act that basically would have preserved America, its unique Northern European heritage, and its unique Anglo-Saxon culture. There can be no doubt about that.
Yep.
30 years later, we have Operation Kalergi full bore underway. You know, it's basically this classic schizophrenia. You know, I love you, but I'm going to kill you.
Right.
You know, in 1925, they love us. And in 1955, they're murdering us. They decide there could be no doubt that that's what they decided.
So what happened there? What's the switch there?
We don't know. The catalyst was, of course, World War II. There could be a catalyst in regards to the psychology of the elites itself. There's also another catalyst I don't like. And that is every time they release more and more genetic information, when coming through the 80s, coming through the 90s, they speed up our death.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
The more they find out about us, the more they try to get rid of us faster, it seems like. And they're not releasing everything to us. I mean, we know something about the X chromosomes, the ancient mothers of Europe, but they never released enough about the Y chromosomes. I'm guessing they know. And it is highly speculative stuff. You know, the scenarios we're going to talk about are highly speculative because they haven't happened yet. But based on the stimuli and input, we must speculate. We're dealing with a society, Henrik. In America alone, we have 40%+ believe in aliens and UFOs. And I'm not talking about people that have had legitimate experiences with seeing next generation crafts, whether it be military industrial complex or other. I'm not talking about anyone with an alien abduction type experience. Richard Dolan style type things. Mm-hmm. We're talking about people that believe something based on faith with really no evidence other than a propaganda coup of the late 20th century. And then outside of that, we have this pop culture phenomenon called Ancient Aliens. There's been about 82 episodes. Well, precisely 82 episodes. And at first, you know, it starts out with like 6 episodes, but then it's like something else going on. They start seeding this meme over and over again. And it's a dog whistle type meme. You know, Akhenaten's an alien. It becomes so pervasive in the last 2 shows I went through on the DVR. There's actually drinking games out there among some let's call it the more sophisticated audience members that understand how media works. There's a drinking game involved where you know, you take a drink when you see the association between ancient aliens and Amarna, Egypt. You know, in one particular episode, there was one recently with one of the first ones for 2014, I want to say, or one of their last ones regarding Cyclops. They're talking about the Cyclops and giants, which is another. And then they, you know, somewhere through there, they show an elongated skull. So they immediately flash up artwork from Amarna. This is the type of association they're making, or one of the more recent ones, which was very recent, is a special on mummies, aliens and mummies. And of course, the whole show goes on. Then, of course, they got a 10-minute section about Akhenaten, and they didn't find his mummy because he was rumored to be an alien.
Right.
You know, and it's always like some big gotcha beat up theme. But this stuff has become pervasive. It, you know, hindsight vision is always 20/20, but it also lends itself to the truth and propaganda. This is only repeating recurring meme. To any substantial extent at all, is always about Armana, always showing a hieroglyph. They talk about elongated skulls. It's always, you know, showing South America and Amarna, Egypt. They're always talking about Akhenaten in some way, shape, manner, form. You know, there was once rumored a king of Egypt thought to be an alien because he was so strange, you know, Akhenaten. And
yeah.
It's hard to ignore if you know anything at all about propaganda, that this is by design. Why they are doing it so fast and so aggressive, because that isn't their nature.
And this is the city, just to clarify that he, you know, cannot built out in the desert out of nowhere. This is where he, you know, allegedly even, you know, came up with monotheism, and all these, you know, things are anchoring into this point. And things, of course, went terribly wrong, as far as we know now, archaeologically, in Amarna, where it turned into this hellhole before it was all abandoned, you know. I don't know how much of that they're going to tie into this.
Well, this is the thing. If I were to say, you see, what I did was I looked back when they started dating the Y chromosome for obvious reasons. They're telling me something about their past. Then I looked at the fact that, well, their mythology comes out of Egypt. Then you look at Kalergi. Kalergi's talking about, I want to create this blended humanity. He's not really talking, you know, he's not talking specifically about what I did in Amarna, Egypt or anything like that, but there's an Egyptian reference because he's a Zionist. There's always an Egyptian reference, right? And so in out of their mythology, but he's not talking about Paraguay. He's not talking about India. So we have, you know, yep, I mean, yep. There's nowhere left to go here. And then, of course, you start talking about, well, you know, let's look at the current movie, Exodus, Gods and Men. If I were to say, go see Exodus, Gods and Men, the average historian, and I were to say, they're talking about Moses, obviously, and Moses is Akhenaten, you're going to fall over laughing. This is common sense. On the other hand, if I have 40% of the population that believe in UFOs and aliens, if I have Katy Perry, the pop star, DVRing Ancient Aliens, I got the average guy watching, and I'm drilling them in the head with an association. They might not be aware of it yet. If I have a population that's been so aggressively dumbed down, it's beyond the pale of this conversation, and I make him into an alien, that might be one thing I can sell that morning.
Right. I mean, it's never been about what the academics tell us. It's all about, you know, where the main kind of cultural dialogue lies at, and that's where it is.
They're already dating. They're already got enough of the science for me. From a control booth perspective, if you put on your evil hat, if I've got enough technology to throw at you, that's something I can do. One of the most alarming things I've seen is these sci-fi shows that they're running on Discovery. And everyone's up in arms about that. First, there was the mermaid one where mermaids exist, but it's really kind of like a reenactment. They're called mockumentaries. And that one wasn't real well done. I mean, it's not, it may fool a 12-year-old, but it wasn't real well done. But it pissed a lot of people off because they don't watch Discovery Channel to see science fiction, right?
Yeah.
You watch Discovery Channel to see science. And then that kind of got my alert because this is all going on right now. I mean, right now, this is all going on in the past few years. This is like, you know, they're coming back to these memes over King Tut over decades and decades. They're coming back to the stuff over UFOs. Now, all of a sudden, Obama gets elected. He travels over there. They announce him as the new King Tut. Interesting enough. They got this new big museum over there that opens next year. Most people have never talked about it, but that's called the Grand Museum of Egypt. And King Tut's sector is 7 times bigger than it was at Tahrir Square. It's considered the museum to King Tut. Now, you got all this stuff going on just right now. We're not supposed to notice all these coincidences coming together. But you got all this stuff going on. Then all of a sudden, they start looking at the boundaries. What they're doing in these Discovery channels with the Megalodon stuff, and the Megalodon one was even more alarming because, in my opinion, as someone that's been involved in making animations, I've seen what it takes to make good videos. Stuff's not easy to do. Information is not produced for no reason. It's very expensive. It's very time-consuming. The people that made it may not realize what they were doing, but the elites, the ones looking at the metrics, knew exactly what they were doing. They're gauging the boundaries on the smart people. You know, what do I need to do to knock them on their tail one morning? Because smart people are generally well-informed. Smart people aren't generally wrong a whole lot. They went to the right schools, got the right degrees, got the right jobs. They're right a lot. What happens if they think they know science, if they think they know what's going on, and they wake up one morning, they think Megalodon doesn't exist, and I put them right at the local beach? How are they going to react? Mm-hmm. How much do I need to do to create the shock and trauma to shut them down so little Billy can run in the rooms? Why I tell the world that Akhenaten, you know, descendants of Akhenaten are here and they're Moses and they're aliens, and little Billy runs in the rooms. I saw it on Ancient Aliens, you know. Well, this is how they really think, though. This is how you really do this. How you'd go from point A to point B is always the question. But the smart set is the ones you've got to fool. And the fooling them can be really difficult over time, but you can traumatize smart people, create enough shock and trauma by proving they're wrong. I mean, when someone's proven they're wrong and they're not used to being wrong, well, there's humiliation. Humiliation, shock, and trauma go hand in hand if it's done the right way. So that's what they're doing. They're looking at boundaries. You know, okay, they got that. Let's look at who got where, when, and how in the particular segment. So, you know, see what we have to do. How many military industrial next generation craft do we need? How many holograms of UFOs do we need? What do we need in this Ocean's 11 style scam that we may be planning?
Right.
Yeah. So that's kind of alarming. People are up in arms. Why would they do that on Discovery Channel? You know, I get asked that because these days I have somewhat of a little track record with propaganda. And I'm like, they're looking at boundaries of the smart set. They're looking at what they need to do to fool you. So they're obviously giving you a mockumentary. They're insulting your intelligence. They're trying to figure out, do I need one Megalodon that's been cloned, or do I need several holograms? What do I need to do to punch these people out one morning? Interesting. And again, if they were doing it on sci-fi, it wouldn't be a big deal.
Right.
But they're not.
Yeah.
They're doing it on a channel where everyone goes to for some certain expectations regarding science.
How do we set this up in such a way that we will drag the majority of people with us into this scheme? And we can talk about that later too, how you see that this is going to play out, how all these pieces in this puzzle is going to be laid in place in order to, you know, get us aware kind of thing. But if that's jumping the gun, let's kind of proceed where you're at this moment here, Tim.
Well, the only time that we have an analogy, because I always, you know, our enemy leaves clues. We don't have any analogy for them collapsing all their memes into one nice, neat narrative. And I'm by no means saying it's true. They're the masters at introducing illegitimate associations into the real world. Lies, if you will.
Sure, of course.
So I'm not by any means saying any of this is true. I'm just saying this is what they're doing. But the only analogy I have for collapsing or for aggressively putting memes into the consciousness that I can give to the audience would have been like Ahmadinejad is going to wipe Israel off the map. This is the famous neocon, you know, a half dozen introduced it in society at a breakneck speed to try to get a war going. So why they're doing this so fast now, you know, what they should have done is started this stuff slowly and gradually. When they started the new museum, which was in 2012, this new museum to King Tut, basically, on the Giza Plateau, which is the largest thing on the Giza Plateau since the building of the Great Pyramids. This is the largest thing built since then. So it's a big deal. Warren Buffett has done tours. The President Obama has been over there in the little golf carts and everything else. Yeah, it's interesting. But This thing wasn't supposed to be done. By the way, that thing wasn't supposed to be done anytime soon. There's a lot of conspiracies behind that because, you know, they started talking about this in the 70s, supposedly. But then all of a sudden they started at breakneck speed. It wasn't supposed to be done until like 2020 something. All of a sudden they're moving in. They start moving in. Zawi Hawass was actually moving in stuff. He had an office there, was moving in stuff 2009, 2010. Now next year they're opening it up. And you can look this up. This stuff's been breakneck speed. But when they came out with that, interesting enough, what we see through the 2000 and let's say two to 2000 to the election of Obama, what we see are a lot of different new Egyptian pieces coming out on History Channel, usually around Armana, around some kind of character from that particular time period attached to King Tut or attached to Akhenaten, the Queen Ties, the, you know, Zawi Hawass is digging up this mummy. And they're doing stuff in a slow, gradual way. It's kind of, in hindsight, it's obvious they were slowly, gradually moving this way. Then all of a sudden, Obama gets elected, or something happens in 2009. Ancient Aliens come out, and they said, well, all systems go. Akhenaten's an alien. Let's start tying it in. We've got Exodus, gods and men. All this is supposed to be coincidental. Well, I don't really believe in coincidences with expensive propaganda.
Yeah.
So they're shaping perceptions. They're getting ready to move on something, and at any given time it go live. This started with the election of Obama sometime after that. So I'm guessing they're going to try to get it done over the next 2 years, which is why I'm there's no wrong. I mean, if I'm wrong, that's probably a good thing. But the only time we have an example of them comfortably introducing memes aggressively into an audience at this rate. Typically, you want to do stuff like they did with King Tut. Everyone on Earth knows King Tut, and everyone on Earth has an association with like some piece of gold, some gold sarcophagus or something. Everyone on Earth has an association with aliens, little gray dudes, whatever. But that is created slowly and gradually over a period of time. You don't throw frogs in boiling water, because then we're going to be on red ice talking about it.
Yeah,
it's not something they can comfortably do. So something's got them stressed is the only thing I can come to the conclusion of.
And no speculation as to why that is, timeline-wise, time crunch, you know?
Well, there's a couple, but I got to have to answer the question, I got to have the answer. There could be problems.
Mm-hmm.
If you're trying to execute a large plan across the globe, and let me give the audience an example. Right now, there's supposedly a big fight with Russia and a big showdown with Russia, and there is. The neocons are having it out with them.
The dumping the oil prices and all that kind of stuff to hurt Russia.
At the same
Russia.
Time, yeah. if you look at Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and Energia, if you look at the top, there's cooperation among space assets with Russia.
Sure, that's true. Yep.
Okay, so we have the schizophrenia, this contradiction. On one element, we're at war with Russia. On the other element, we need their cooperation for space. Why is that?
Yeah.
So the speculation comes into. Now, I would have to have an answer to a question. You see, there's something in the alt news crowd that I'm basically agnostic on. I don't know what I believe. This paleo-ancient super high civilization. You know, was there once a civilization on Mars? Was there once this paleo-ancient super high civilization that stretched through the solar system, that burned down the solar system in war? Now, if that civilization existed, then I have the answer to my question. But some days I look at different mathematical anomalies regarding, let's say, moons of Saturn. And the relationship to the sexagesimal system of Sumerian, I say, well, that can't be random. Other days, I say, well, you know, I see this stuff about faces on Mars, and I just don't see it. Mm. So I'm kind of agnostic on that. I would have to have something on that particular dynamic to know what was stressing them. By and large, there's only one way to read the mythology if you want to start bringing it alive. And if that civilization existed, then elements of that civilization are still around. We're stuck with some elements here. They obviously don't want us to know about them. If you're going to live with us for thousands of years and haven't revealed themselves, that's why I don't get upset over aliens. If there's something like that with us and they haven't revealed themselves yet, they haven't done so for a reason. They're probably afraid
sure.
of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or they're afraid of losing control. So it's nothing I'm worried about. Then something like white genocide becomes more interesting. But there's a corollary. And it doesn't matter whether you go to the Book of Revelation or what mythology you want. Something's here. Something's coming here. If something's coming here, something's here. So I don't know how to gauge that, because those are big game changers. That is the only anomaly for this audience. But I'm going to guess right off the top of my head that, for instance, the sex scandal regarding the royals that we see, this type of infighting, the death of the banksters.
Yeah.
On one end, we have them probably putting together a plan and taking out loose links. On the other end, we clearly have some infighting. we clearly have something afoot. My guess is you're dependent on this broad cooperation from military industrial assets. And this broad cooperation to run the particular program they want to run, they may not be so certain that they're going to get it when push comes to shove. In other words, something else is most likely. I'm expecting things to go wrong very badly if they pull the trigger on this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what I'm expecting, because all the signs are from their collapsing memes in a way that they've never done in the history of this group, putting their narrative together at breakneck speed. We don't have any precedence for it, except if you're going to war or something. All the signs are from the stress of the particular group, the different attacks going on, and all the problems, that they're either losing control and trying to regain control. That's another scenario. The end of some type of major cycle, which some of the different financial prognosticators believe. There's a lot of different ways to go in this speculation, but clearly they're doing it. It's right in front of our face. The question is why. If you're doing something you've never done before, the only analogy I can give for a war, they're trying to get a war going. They're obviously, and this is not a war. This is not, well, we're going to try to get a war. We're going with Iran. And, you know, if we don't, no big deal. This is everything they've ever talked about, put in one neat little package. This is their mythology come prime time. If you're going to do that, and this is memes going back millennium, a couple millennia. If you're trying to do that at breakneck speed, you're not doing it for no reason. But they might not have the cooperation we think they have at the military industrial level.
I hope they don't.
You hit the switches on the holograms, and they ended up doing something else. The problem with the Megalodon type deal are bringing out, let's go false flag UFO invasions. Once you let that cat out of the bag, once you bring Megalodon to the beach, there's no going back.
That's right. Yeah.
Even if it's fake, you're over with if you fall on your face.
Yep.
And that could happen. I by no means think they're going to be successful. I'm always interested in how it plays into white genocide, because that's their keystone. That's what they're after, in my opinion. That's what everything, you know, everything's about, this blended humanity in only white countries, which is genocide.
Yep.
It's one of the largest psychological operation schemes in the history. It'll be studied for hundreds, if not thousands of years, as the largest psychological operation scheme ever. You know, the largest phenomenon of immigration, forced assimilation, forced integration, and the inevitable brown future for white countries and only white countries, matched with, you know, the phenomenon of the open borders and everything else, matched with massive, massive anti-white propaganda, programming and propaganda. And the two together combine to make an operations. Operation is phenomenon backed by propaganda. I mean, something we can readily observe, like the UFO stuff. I've never seen one, but I'm sure people are seeing something. You can argue whether it's military-industrial complex, interdimensional, extraterrestrial, but clearly something's going on at the military-industrial complex level alone. Even if you just accept that, you have to accept that something's going on. There's too many random occurrences across too broad of an area. So we have a phenomenon backed by propaganda. There's obviously been a little bit of UFO propaganda going on.
Quite a bit, I'd say.
I'm understating things, obviously.
Yeah.
It's become pervasive.
It has been. And I mean, no, it's interesting. It could be, it doesn't take away from a potentiality of a real phenomenon and all that. But what we're talking about is how they're using this to disadvantage. And I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the, you know, the Kohanim, you know, that kind of idea, the bloodlines, that, you know, Moses is an alien. Eventually, you know, they'll do this in some kind of way, introduce this almost like a new kind of, you know, super race. I mean, Kalerga even talked about that there was a new, you know, European Judaism is going to rise as the moral high ground within Europe. And this is going to, you know, rule Europe,
the new
basically.
Man.
Yeah.
The new man.
Yeah. And the rest, of course, is going to look like ancient Egyptians.
I know that the new man that they're talking about isn't us. It's basically the antithesis of humanity and preserving diversity of humanity. It's basically one person that they all look the same, and you know, it's this, yeah, blended of African, Asian, and European. The fact that they've only executed in white countries,
yeah,
you know, is what should be alarming. And the fact that they've tried to execute it so quickly, but that is all part of their narrative. It's all part of their mythology.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, definitely. Look at Exodus, Gods and Men, the movie. I haven't seen it yet, but I've read it, you know, a little bit about it and stuff, and it's obviously that they want to push the idea that, you know, the chosen people built the pyramids. We're really at the foundation of, you know, all the greatness that we saw coming out of Egypt, right? So it kind of is a little bit about an introduction of a, you know, kind of the new super race idea, right? And that's kind of what's coming out of all of this. That's what I'm seeing anyway.
Well, there's an old pro-white tradition. It goes back to a man named, in my opinion, probably goes back prior to Revilo Oliver. It's R-E-V-I-L-O, Oliver. He had a lot of interesting things to say. He was a professor of the classics, but he used to basically look at the allegories in their Old Testament. And a friend of mine is a big reader, and he always ascertains allegorically that when Moses, in their Moses, when they march out and kill the giants, that this is an allegory for white genocide. And normally, you know, it's hard to read in between the lines because typically they're using Amalek. Their big enemy is Amalek, and they're at war against Amalek. They call the Palestinians Amalekites and that type of thing, or the Iranians. But I'm starting to pay attention to that type of thing because anything Hollywood puts in front of us, especially if it's an illegitimate association regarding whites that's new, unique, or hasn't been on the scene in decades, that's something that immediately gets my attention right now. And that's what was so alarming to many with this particular play toward Prometheus, the Prometheus movie, which was an odd timing. Again, 2012, it came out, I believe. Very, very odd type thing. You know, there's something big and white out there, and it does not like people in Hollywood.
Which is
the dog. And you might have to fight them one morning because they're coming to change us. The reason I don't like it to the audience, because I've read – as much as the mythology is the next guy, even if I discount that Zeus can be an ass on any given day, or Odin's, you know, human and not necessarily nice when he wakes up, and the Sumerian gods can be at each other's throats and scoundrels. If I look across and I were, and it's significant, Prometheus is significant because it's the first time since World War II, we had a dictator said he was looking for the Aryan gods. Okay. Post-World War II, we haven't heard anything about them, but Prometheus all of a sudden comes out and they're searching for the quote-unquote engineers of humanity. And when I first heard they were bringing out the white giants, I expected them to have elongated skulls, and I expected them to, you know, the wonders of monotheism and the wonders for humanity. you know, some of those particular themes. Mm. But instead we get something else, and it had to be shocking for most people that have read the mythology to see, because the size and proportion of the alien in Prometheus, the actual color, the size and proportion, the timing of the show, 2012, the fact that they brought that out. It doesn't surprise me at Ridley Scott because, again, I'm paying attention to Ridley Scott because we have Mr. Exodus, Gods and Men, right?
Yep.
Okay, so he's a player. His first movie, Alien, that movie Aliens, I thought was one of the scariest movies ever made.
There was references
in it to Sumerian flight wings. So it doesn't surprise me that he knows about the white gods. But, you know, he made them evil. The size and proportion, the perfection, the genetic perfection that he showed actually caught me off guard. If this thing, this engineer's, quote unquote, had blonde hair, blue eyes, or red hair, green eyes, it would look like something right out of South American mythology.
Well, also keep in mind, though, that, you know, Damon Lindelof coming later in the project and actually rewrote a lot of stuff. I actually watched the, you know, making of Prometheus because, you know, it's such an interesting theme there. And it was written by John Spaeth's initially. And then, you know, one of the chosen guys come in there, put their mark on the movie and basically rewrites the whole thing. And I wonder how many changes he did. We can certainly speculate about that.
We don't really know that. But the fact that it's being produced wouldn't surprise me as 10 or 15 years ago. The fact that, because I think the white God thing could sell. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's being produced right now, the fact that no one called it racist, the fact that it's an illegitimate association. Let me prove this to the audience. If I were to go into the Yamamoto legends of Japan, yeah, the white gods make their appearance there. The blonde hair, blue eye gods, the white dragon legends of China, the Quetzalcoatls, the Kukulkans of South America, the Contisi Viracocha, you know, the kingfisher legends of some of the North American Indians. Red is his hair, green is his eyes. If I were to go into the Hopi Indians, the famous Hopi Indians, quite famous for their predictions of the end of times and stuff like that. They have a good white brother, Bahana.
Yep.
You notice how they say good white brother. They don't say evil, tall white brother from the stars that's coming to kill us all. There's not one instance of this negative association with these guys. Now, in Western mythology, in Sumer, Egypt, we can find all kinds of interesting stuff. I'm throwing that out. I'm giving you non-white mythology. If they're so bad, how come it's not showing up? How come they're calling him a good white brother, not something evil? So I don't like this illegitimate association. And yeah, there's a whole entire story behind it of the you-know-who's getting involved and rewriting stuff. I don't like what they're doing. I don't like when they're doing it. The fact that they made them nearly perfect Because typically when I talk about giants to my listeners, I define in absolute terms based on our mythology. Giants are always in our mythology something with some cranial anomaly. Cyclops would be a cranial anomaly, just one eye. Extended cranial voids, elongated heads, those are cranial anomalies. Okay, when you're dealing with something that's just taller than us, there's just big white guys, big white gals, you know. That's a little bit different. But giants are typically don't like us. You know, the Cyclops of the famous, I'm sure the Odyssey. Many listeners, if not all, have read the Odyssey. Well, the Cyclops and the giants aren't, and there's other groups of giants involved there too. They're eating us. They're not nice. Mm. So now we have something big and white. And I don't like that at all because that goes right to the heart of the paleo ancient civilization stuff. And I don't know why they're doing that then. And no one's even called it racist.
Oh, of course not. Never. That would never happen.
I mean, the idea that you got to have a white god create humanity is, well, it's a little bit supremacist, isn't it?
You'd think so, right? Yeah.
Well, not when it comes to the... the Cohen haplo Y chromosome.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. Well, it's interesting too, because this kind of implies, and this is actually another theme that we're running within the alternative a little bit, that, we white people are not somehow indigenous even to the planet, right? It kind of connects with that theme a little bit, that it's an alien force.
This is going to get it. I've got news there for you.
Yeah.
With the white genocide meme, which I'm one of the first on the scenes with it, one of the first maybe half dozen of the quote unquote bugsers, WhitakerOnline.org was asked to do a podcast. For those that don't know, the podcast for the first, if you go to whiterabbitradio.net and listen to Follow the White Rabbit, the first dozen to 16 maybe were done without a website. It was truly an anonymous samizdat, which means anonymous type model. No one knew who I was. No one knew where I was. Never planned on having a website. So you're hearing something kind of original in that regard. And then, of course, they asked me to keep doing them. So I ended up putting up a website. They had no intention on going forward with it, but if no intention on that in the beginning. I just thought it would be up on third-party websites or Mr. Whitaker's website, and that's it. But then, of course, we brought up White Rabbit Radio, and it's been going gangbusters ever since and get involved in animations, everything else. I told him I would take the meme as far as I could and bring in awareness to this. And bringing awareness to this, our objective is actually to force a broad discussion. There are some that believe, the first response to white genocide is usually people deny it, and then they'll turn around and justify it. That's at the low level. You can't justify something you say is not occurring, by the way. That's not possible.
That's right, yeah.
Typically, to bring awareness, we just point out these little contradictions over and over again. At the mid-level, let's say the management level, the critical level, the Tim Weiss would be a major anti-white activist. He's just addressed it in the past so many months. But typically, they never deny white genocide. They deny the methods they're using to wipe us out constitute genocide, which is kind of a trick. We're not going to deny genocide. We're just going to deny the methods we're using actually constitute genocide. At the top, there's only been silence, except two occasions in the past 7 months. One time I thought it was an anomaly in Denmark. I want to say it's Denmark. It may very well have been Sweden. What we have in Europe, for those that don't know it, is you have several anti-white type activist programs are always attached to the governments, attached to the OECD, attached to the EU, and they basically enforce anti-white policies. These think tanks, if you will, these activists, and they're very well paid. Well, they've been going gangbusters at recruiting non-whites. Non-whites are streaming into Europe, especially one of these instances in the UK. It's not uncommon to have an African from Nigeria, in this instance, working as an anti-white activist, paid very good money, attaché to some group that's connected to the government. And they have came out on two different separate occasions and justified it by the fact that we are not indigenous.
Right, yeah.
Which is news. Now, when it comes to the word indigenous, it is not uncommon. And there's two questions, two-part question that was asked to one of them, and it was the right thing to ask. Are you justifying our genocide by playing with the word indigenous? Are you justifying our genocide by saying we're aliens from another world? And I want that on the world stage, because if they're going to justify it wherever they want to go with it, I'm fine with that. Let's go there. Because once you bring awareness, that changes things. White people will be like, even the anti-whites in the room were actually shocked that they would say we're not indigenous to the United Kingdom, because they had kind of been there, 10,000 years. The only group right. Europeans considered indigenous to somewhere like the UN, because they're always playing with this word, is the Sami.
Exactly, and that's Sweden and Norway, parts of Norway and Finland as
now,
well.
this is not uncommon. Let's go over the first part. Are they playing with the word indigenous? Not uncommon for them to do that. I did a whole entire short animation on how they play with the word human rights or the phrase human rights. You know, as whites, we are not allowed to vote on immigration because, they always throw out votes on immigration. You know, you have a vote on immigration in America and Arizona, it was overthrown, thrown out. You have a vote on immigration back in the mid-90s in California, it was thrown out the window. You know, it's always this circular argument like you see in How Whites Took Over America Part 2. And, you know, you can't shut the borders because that would violate, that would be a violation of their human rights, of the immigrants' human rights, of the people of the world's human rights. And you can't vote on immigration because human rights can't be subject to a vote. I mean, there's no winning that one. And this is the circular type of argument they make over and over again. And what we're obviously doing is exposing it and talking about what the real agenda is. So that could be what they're doing, is playing with the word indigenous. That is not uncommon. That's been done before. Now, if they're going to say we're aliens from another world, they've been so silent at the top. If they're going to lower the boom on something like that, that's fine as well. I want to know about it. Because what they're doing, there's been a collective policy across Western civilization post-World War II, is basically, you know, the Henriks of Sweden are pretty much alien under the law. That's the immigrants right. have yeah. far more rights. You don't have any rights. You no. don't even have the right to criticize.
Not anymore. Yeah.
You see, what they're saying is you know, not only, you know, a lot of people think the hate speech laws are punishing the Europeans, and that's true. What they're doing, their frame of reference, their mindset is demented as this. They're protecting the immigrants from your evil racist hate speech. Your tendency toward racism and all this kind of stuff. But this whole entire ideal that we're not indigenous is fine. White genocide, I always say that if you believe in the paleo-ancient hypothesis, if you believe that there's something here with us alien, who knows? I've seen nothing to conclude it's true, but I've seen nothing to conclude it isn't true. I mean, the elites act so strange, nothing would surprise me. White genocide will get you to the center of the Tootsie Pop, as we say in America. The center of the candy very quickly, because they're going to have to justify it or back down. At the local level, there's been talk, because I get news alerts from all over the world, wonderful thing with technology, about anti-white hate crimes. And there has been many anti-white hate crimes, and they're starting to call them that at the police level. But there's been no broad application of the law toward that. You know, even though the police are calling things, you know, anti-white hate crime laws, you know, you'll have something in the Midwest of America as a bunch of black youths will run down the street with hammers saying kill the honky, and they kill the white guy. Then, of course, they call it anti-white hate crime. Well, go figure.
No shit.
Go figure. Yeah. No, go figure. And then, of course, it ends up being, well, it's not actually hate crime and stuff like that. So right. there's no protect. They're treating us as aliens on their laws, what I'm saying. So yeah. I want a clarification of this, because, you see, this goes back a long ways. Most pro-white activists, dissidents have heard that we're not indigenous. That's very common in America. In fact, Ann Coulter, famous conservative commentator, talked about California and said if this was happening to any other group immigration-wise, they would call it genocide. And what she's talking about is this ability to constantly play with human rights and these indigenous. But they're only doing that to us, not doing that anywhere else.
That's right. Yeah.
And so that gets my alarm with these present stimuli and input and associations. Now, the only time I have the audience, which is an interesting something we're looking into right now, of any type of meme being seeded into a non-white group about UFOs showing up, killing all the white people. That's happened, actually, shockingly enough.
Really?
There's a group out of Chicago. I used to watch them on public access in Chicago, kind of entertaining, called Nation of Islam, the Reverend.
Sure. Yeah.
Reverend Farrakhan. I assumed, and that's one of their beliefs, that a spaceship's going to come and kill all the whites. Interesting belief to have right now. But I am not making this up. This is
sure. I don't doubt it. Yeah.
In the Midwest, certain parts of America, you can stop on certain street corners and neighborhoods that you might not want to be at after dark and buy their newspaper from a little kid in a bow tie or some fellow in a bow tie. But I remember long ago buying one of these newspapers and reading some of these stories. But what's interesting about this meme, and we're doing more research on it because obviously you're talking about UFOs killing white people. I want to know who first said that, where it comes from. But it doesn't come from him. It comes from some Farad Muhammad that started the group Nation of Islam in Detroit. And he was not black at all. He was of Afghani descent. And many believe he was the you-know-whos.
Right.
And this is a long time ago. I thought it was a recent thing. I thought it was maybe from the 80s or the 70s or something post the giant push toward UFOs. But this is one of the first crazy UFO memes unleashed in North America, unleashed among the black population, the Nation of Islam. And this goes back a long ways.
Interesting.
Yeah. So we're doing more research on that. That is the crazy. Now, do I think it's going to happen? No. Do I think that if they're putting it out there, there's nothing this group wouldn't consider when it comes to getting rid of us. There's no doubt about
it. Well, why not? They'll use anything at their disposal. You know, they've released these, I think it's been a theme within Islam for quite a while about the jinn, for example, and that this connects with, you know, some kind of wicked spirits and whatnot. And it might be a tie in there, you know?
Let's pull out the Megalodon. Let's go there for a second. Imagine, if you will, I had holographic technology that most even physics professors can vaguely comprehend. In other words, I have something with pressure waves that could walk down the street, shake hands with you, and you couldn't differentiate. You'd have a very tough time differentiating. Imagine, you will, you were going to pull out something like that of a famous prophet and turn it loose. Let's say in Momol, Sweden, and say, kill all the Nephilim. Kill the evil whites or aliens, kill them all. What would happen? I mean, being a Muslim and offended is like being a black and offended in America. It's a frigging hunting license.
Yeah.
Literally.
As we've seen now.
What would happen? If you don't think they haven't calculated stuff like that, you got another thing coming. Now, do I think it would work? In the short term, I wouldn't want to be there. But no, I think they have a numerous sets of problems going forward. I'm just curious on how they're going to try to extricate themselves from these problems, the use of technology, and why they're doing this so fast right now. They're obviously not comfortable doing things this fast, because we have no record of them ever trying something like this so fast, so broad, putting together the whole entire narrative in one little package, and then, of course, gearing up to sell it. And we won't know until they sell it. That's why we have to speculate on things kind of ahead of time, which is kind of what I do, you know, on programs like In-Game Exotica. But it's a relevant conversation because they're spending so much money to shove it into the consciousness all of a sudden.
And this will really open them up, expose them to what they're doing. As we know, the harder they push, the quicker they do it, the more mistakes will happen along the way, etc. This will open up the whole thing.
There is speculation that the white genocide meme themselves is problematic for them. I believe that, because I think that's the keystone to their pyramid, to use colloquial language. It's their master plan, this reshaping of humanity. Their exposure is that they've only tried to do it in white countries, in all white countries, and they are susceptible because there's a contradiction under the law. You can't go there. You can't go down that road. I think there's a sector, even if you go, if the audience members were to do research in a gentleman named Tim Weiss. Tim Weiss is a famous anti-white. You can see him response to Bob Whitaker and the white genocide charges. Rather interesting. He accuses him of basically making light of the Holocaust, and then he calls him a Nazi 24 times. Well, if you're causing people Nazis 24 times that clearly aren't National Socialists, you're the one making light of World War II. But if you go to that, and you're welcome to read that, it's a matter of public information. And then you go to Tim Weiss's screed against white people, where after the Arizona vote, where they repealed immigration into Arizona, they voted on immigration to Arizona, and that vote went through. He wrote this hate screed against white people, that there's going to be big events and our hearts are going to stop. They're always talking to these. He's very well informed. So I'm curious in that type of language. And then, of course, you know, he always wants to tell us, you know, he wants to justify. You can see him wanting to go there. The only instance we have are these non-whites attached to these attachés who say, well, what they were talking about in this particular instance in the UK was the video that came out, which is kind of like Kalergi on steroids, of Nicolas Sarkozy, who, of course, is a head of state. This is a head of state talking about forced blending children, which is what he's talking about. I mean, sure. It's not, you can go to my website, whiterabbitradio.net, you can watch it. This is a head of state talking about forced blending children. Never mind the fact that even some of the non-white parents of the children might be offended by this.
That's right.
Okay, but you know, that's where the alarm's coming from. But this is this is overt. You don't get any more Kalergi than that. And what's it going to take to force blending? We're going to have to start forcing it. Well, how are you, there's more than a few human rights violations there. You can't say that.
Yeah.
You come out and talk about forced blending as native tribe with something. You're going to be in ICC. You're going to be in the International Criminal Court so fast your head's going to spin.
Yeah.
They're going to hit you with the full load, like they did in Tibet when they were trying to, you know, they immigrated all these Chinese and they were trying to force integrate, force assimilate the Tibetan nomads. They hit them with genocide so fast. you know, in Marion County, California, or in, you know, the SPLC comes out with this plan that they want, you know, some state is too white. We want to basically develop a plan to force integrate them, make them less white. That is just brushed over. Oh, that's okay. Kalergi, Sarkozy goes full blown Kalergi as the head of state, and that's just brushed over. This isn't accidental. You can't have all these accidents going on, you know?
Yeah.
So it's central to their plan. This is what they're mainly pushing for.
Oh, it sure is. I believe it is the prime agenda. You know, that is where the everything comes down to that, it seems like. And because everything else, and even what we see, you know, happening in France right now and everything else, it's almost like it's brushed over and almost justified. And what's talked about now is like, oh, my God, this is like, it's horrible for conditions now created by, you know, for the Muslims in France, and never mind the victims, you know, the 12 people that was shot and the cop and everything else. That's brushed over because there's other issues that trumps, you know, what has happened and what's going on in France.
It's the blowback from white genocide is what's going on. In other words, the neocon set is trying to make their lemonades out of lemons. This Muslim group is a little too radical, and the only thing you can do is to make it worse. Make it worse and try to get into some larger scenarios. I'm interested in the larger scenarios and how they go from point A to point B, because there's too many quotes out there that they've entertained it openly.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Tim, let's take a short break here and then pick up here. I want to ask you more about what happens in Europe right now, how you see this kind of changing, and the nature of, you know, the resistance that we can put up against this and start exposing it more, and the timeline crunch and everything else here. But let's just give up some of the details. Obviously, you've been on Radio 314 two times before that I recommend people listen to, two excellent interviews and programs. But for those who haven't heard you before, who might be new and listening to this show, give us all the details where people can go and listen to your radio shows. You have some excellent animations out there. Give us the details.
Well, you can find us at whiterabbitradio.net, and you can find us on YouTube as White Rabbit Radio TV, and you can see the famous anti-racist Hitler, How Whites Took Over America 1 and 2, and our new series, Johnny Racist, and a debut of our rabbits. But you can go to whiterabbitradio.net. We also have all the Horus Avengers, horusavengers.com.org. But you can go to whiterabbitradio.net, and you can pretty much find it all right there. We're on Twitter, very big on Twitter these days, pushing our particular message to bring awareness.
All right, very good. WhiteRabbitRadio.net. Stay with us, Tim. We'll take a short break here, and then we'll return with more after the break. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll pick this up right after the break. We have more to talk about with Tim Murdoch concerning the future of Europe and America and its people. Don't miss the second segment at redicemembers.com, our members' website, where we have all our interviews, all radio shows, videos, films, and more archived for you. And by the way, we have upcoming on the show Paul Gottfried, Conrad, Dennis Fetcho, Tom Goodridge, and many more. All right, don't miss our second hour with Tim Murdoch. We'll be right back after the break.